This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, I will emphasise there, Jill Serkin.
Yes. Terry might disagree.
Yeah, yeah.
Terry Thorpe.
Yeah.
Did you know there's a two-day online adult MHFA, which is a mental health first aid course.
It's Mental Health Week as well, yeah, this week, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It's also dementia. There's quite a few things going on. It's dementia week and as well, or might be even month. So they've got a first aid mental health course, which is an internationally recognised training course designed to teach people how to spot the signs and symptoms of mental ill health and provide help on a first aid basis. And they won't teach you to be a therapist, but just like physical first aid, it would teach you to listen, reassure and respond even in a crisis. So there are lots of dates for this. They are online dates and times, 24th of June and Friday 25th of June, 9:30 to 5 p.m. And there's also a few other modules. And the best way to have a look is there an email? Is there a website? Are these details on Kent Business Radio now?
Yeah, they are. The website's a bit of a laugh because it's
got
separated
lots of hyphens.
By hyphens, yeah.
Yeah, so I suggest
the website is the only way is up. And each word is separated by a hyphen.
Yeah, I don't know why they've done that. There is a phone number, which I'll read out. But if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, you will find the link to this two-day adult mental health first aid course. And the phone number, if you want to find out, is 07 860 624 880. And so that's the best way. Have a look there. Sounds like a good one.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Athelbrae. Happy Tuesday, Business Bunker gang. We're busy getting back in client premises to deliver training, and so lovely seeing everyone face to face again. All COVID compliant, so anyone wanting any staff training in coming months, give us a call. Virtual classes, of course, are still available. Give them a follow on the Twitter. That's Athelbrae Limited. A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E. L-T-D is their Twitter handle.
It's correct. It's very, very good to get back to normal.
It is. Right. We've got another brilliant guest to talk to. It was an absolute pleasure to catch up with Nicola Carey Shine. And Nicola is the founder of the Shine to Learn Academy. Why don't we listen to what Nicola has to say? It's an absolute pleasure to welcome to the Business Bunker Show for the very first time, Nicola Carey Shine. Nicola, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Paul. Lovely to speak with you.
And you. First and foremost, I know the listeners can't see that. What's that behind you on the wall? Is it a triceratops?
It is actually a triceratops I painted for my little boy. Ironically, he's over dinosaurs now. So that was, you know, labour lost now, but never mind.
Well, you've got to take a photo, put it in the album and then paint something else. What's he into now?
Oh, Dua Lipa, the singer, and science and hearts. And, oh, I don't think the wall would have enough space.
Cool. Well, look, it's a pleasure to see you and to speak with you. And thank you for joining us on the show. And when we spoke a couple of weeks ago about setting up the show, I was absolutely fascinated and blown away by what it is you're trying to achieve. So why don't you kick off by telling us about Learn to Shine and what it's all about?
Okay, so I was a teacher for over a decade in a secondary school. I originally trained in as an art teacher. Then obviously as your career progresses, you end up teaching lots of different things and covering different things. And I got requested to work with the really, quote, challenging children, who were not quite... they hadn't been given a statement of educational needs at that point, but their behaviour was sufficiently bad that they were sort of on the cusp of being excluded.
Right.
So they were put all together into one class, and lots of people said to me, like, oh, why are you doing that? You must be mad. Like, they're gonna destroy you. And I said, no, but they're not. I love them. It's fine. And you know, we got on really well. We'd have a bit of Classic FM on. I'd always buy flowers for them every week in the classroom, so it felt like home. And I just thought, this is what it's all about. When you really understand children and they know that you care about them, you can work with the most difficult people on paper, but actually in real life they just want to be listened to.
So I
did that. And then when I went on maternity leave for my first little boy, Artie, I just thought, you know what, I can't go back to the box ticking. I want to do what I love doing, but I don't want to be hemmed in by bureaucracy and by management that don't really understand SEN.
Yeah.
So I decided to throw the towel in, quit my management role as well. Initially I was just going to do tutoring, and the tutoring picked up because it was very different. I teach in a very hands-on sort of Montessori style. That took off, and then that's expanded to helping parents support them with behavior challenges from children, their emotional, you know, if they're struggling with something, or it could be that there's an underlying undiagnosed condition that's going on.
Yeah.
And quite often that they'll say to me, the school's kicked them out, or they're in trouble all the time, or they just don't want to go in, they're having anxiety attacks. And we try and get to the bottom of that. So it's this little acorn has really expanded really quickly.
It's interesting, isn't it? I hear what you're saying, and I fully get what you're saying about kids that have different requirements and different needs. It's my opinion. I want your view on this. This is my opinion. One of the problems, and I suffered this when I was at school many, many years ago, I just don't think an academic education suits everybody. And at the end of the day, that can multiply problems that maybe they're underlying already, because you've already got kids going, well, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't even know what she's going on about. Why do I want to know what a hypotenuse is? I couldn't care less.
And to be honest, I feel the same.
Exactly. We all do. Yeah,
he can do one. The supermarket.
Bloody Greeks. Who needs them?
Actually, no. To be fair, my dad did use it the other day when he was building something on a roof, and I thought, oh, you, what's it? You actually did use it.
Do you know, it's a funny thing you should say that, though, Nicola. When I was at school, I mean, I went to a horrible school, and one of my best mates, our worst lesson was maths. We were just utter rubbish at maths, peerless. Yeah, and he was worse than me, and I was bad. We did a maths test, a mock maths test, and I got 6%, and I came above him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guess what he ended up doing for a living?
Is he an engineer or something?
No,
like
it's
that?
A bookmaker.
Yeah, excellent.
And he can do odds in his head. That to me is the focal point of what goes wrong with a lot of this. Mm-hmm. It's not an inability to do these subjects; it's an inability to see their relevance.
Absolutely, yeah. There's this really rigid structure to, you know, we've got to. Yes, you've got to cover certain skills, because you have to build upon those skills in order to use certain things in real life. There is a relevance to some of it, but it's how you go about doing it, and it's still, after all these years, very, very dry in a lot of places. So, for example, if I'm doing about perimeter and area and things like that, I will be getting the child to use toast. And then we'll eat the toast and we'll fold it in half and take a bite out, and that'll be symmetry. And there's lots of different ways you can, that are using all your sensory input, and it actually helps you remember it. Yeah. And I think the last decade or so, I know Michael Gove is very unpopular with teachers. He's caused a lot of damage, in the sense that he's expecting children to be able to list all the wars and you know, the dates of everything that's ever happened by rote, and that's just not of no value
in life. It's just of no value.
You could teach a monkey with enough time and enough incentives to do that, and that doesn't prove that you understand anything. Sure. So we've had a real, I think over the last decade, it's changed enormously. So the landscape's now learning things just to say facts out loud. That's not learning, that's not education.
Yeah, no,
so
absolutely.
So that needs to change urgently.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think, you know, for a long, long time, we've just overlooked how we need to go about education that suits everybody. And it just doesn't suit everybody the way that our 1950s education system is still deployed. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think it did change a bit in the 70s, and there was a lot more interest in vocational things, but that kind of got put by the wayside, and it's all very about academia, and that just doesn't suit everybody. And then you throw SEN into the mix,
right?
And then you're just not you're not helping a big majority of people then.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Okay, so let's get back to where we were in the story. You'd quit your job. You were doing tutoring of a Montessori style, and that was presumably growing and getting new attention. Pick it up from there. Where did you go from there?
Yeah, the behavioural side has more sort of taken over than the educational side at the moment. So over the first part of lockdown, I trained in speech and language therapy and did occupational therapy as well. And then I'm nearly finished a psychology master's to help complement all of that. So right. that's really taken off.
Right.
So that side of the business is just... I haven't got enough of me. I need to become an octopus, because there's loads and loads of children who are... either undiagnosed and it's been put off and put off and put off, and then their behaviour is suffering, their mental health is suffering. There's nowhere to go, or the waiting list is so long, it's ridiculous.
Right.
And the ones that have been identified are just not accessing help.
Right.
So it actually keeps me awake at night, because it's something that shouldn't be happening. It really affects life chances.
Yeah.
So it's I'm hearing of schools that are actually obstructing children coming to appointments for things because they want to do it their way, but they're not actually doing anything. They're not taking action. It's all about what looks good rather than what is actually good for the child.
Yeah.
And it's more and more box ticking, not actually sitting down and going, right, we might need to spend out some money here, but it's going to be worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
So it infuriates me.
It's frustrating, isn't it? Interestingly, I do a lot of work with Kent Supported Employment, part of the education people, Kent County Council group, and their work is about finding people with supported needs employment, full-time, full-paid employment. Mm-hmm. And we do a lot of work together. We stage seminars, and we've staged our first seminar at County Hall about four or five years ago, and we tried to get employers to come along to listen to what we had to say. And in the early days, we got 10 or 11. Now, well, before the pandemic, we were up to 50 or 60 employers, and the amount of employers that have suddenly realised the value of people with supported needs as workers... so many of them aren't difficult to deal with. You know, they're a joy to deal with. They're very talented. They get their head down and do the work that they're going to do. And they're very valuable employees. And it's taken a while to get that mindset to change amongst the business community. But one of the things that's driven that is the business community, and I this is just me saying this, you don't have to agree or not. The business community, though, has lost patience with the education system in terms of GCSEs and degrees, and they just go, do you know, I'm not interested anymore. It's just about attitude. I just want the right attitude. I want someone who wants to work, and then we'll teach them everything they need to know.
Yeah, exactly. That is really what it should be about, and we can't see the wood for the trees anymore, because we're trying to enforce this curriculum that one size fits all on everybody, and it's just not working. Yeah. And yet you've got people with dyslexia, ADHD or various other issues. They feel like they're a failure. They feel like, because academically they're being told on a daily basis, you can't do that. You're not good at that. You're not able to do that. But actually, many of our biggest, you know, inspirational inventors like Einstein and Mozart, etc., probably had ADHD or autism or both.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're told in this mold, and if you're told by an authoritative figure enough that you're not able to do something, you'll believe it.
Absolutely.
And yet, if that strength is harnessed in the right way, you're actually a better thinker than somebody else that's got, I don't know, 20 A stars.
Yeah, absolutely. You can think outside the box. You see things from a different perspective. You're much more creative. No, I totally agree. Okay, so you've got all this bee in your bonnet about what's going on. You've got some experience of working for yourself. Where are you taking that? Where are you going with that, Nicola?
Okay, so the next big thing is that we are acquiring land and space to expand, because there's just not enough of me at the moment. So I've got myself a couple of members of staff who I've worked with in the past who are like me, love the education in essence, but are very disillusioned with the system.
Yeah.
And they're on board to work with me. We want to expand, but obviously so far I've only ever done all of this off my own back. I've got awards, I've made my own marks and things, but I'm only one person.
Yep.
So I want to expand so I can offer more therapeutic activities, like things outside, bushcrafting, teach my art classes outside. So things that we can use all those different senses and skills. But obviously that is a huge financial challenge. And thus far, I mean, I've done pretty well, but I'm only just little old me on my own, and I've made it work. So I do have faith in myself. But yeah, I'm, at the moment, we're pushing to expand. So that is the next big chapter. So it'll be a sort of a hub or a centre where kids can dip in and do a bit of booster sessions for their, you know, numeracy and literacy. Or it could be just having some respite time out. It could be doing an activity. But it's all to help the family from a 360.
Okay. Kind of a... So there's two elements I want to explore there. Mm-hmm. They're kind of interlinked, but separate. So first and foremost, the students that you're dealing with, mm-hmm. How are they funded, if indeed they are funded?
At the moment, so parents will come to me and it's paid for privately.
Right.
But we have recently successfully become a CIC, so Community yep. Interest Company,
yep.
which allows
yep.
us to apply for various funding, because we are obviously yep. what we're doing is trying to support the community, and yep. there's only so far your own budget can go.
Yep.
And then eventually what I want to do is apply to become an independent school. So I want to be able to do the things that I think are the essentials and the important parts,
yep.
but that way we will be funded by, you know, we'd be allowed for parents could have their place paid for, so that that's not a burden on them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Department of Education would pay for it in the same way they would pay
yeah,
for
the in the
normal
same,
school.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't want to water it down. I don't want to have too many kids in a class. I don't want it to be yeah. X amount of hours. It's going to be what suits that particular individual. It's all very, very bespoke.
Yeah.
So as it is now, so there's nobody in for like 6 hours every day. It's doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that,
yeah.
and making you much more confident as a
Fantastic.
Person.
Right. And the other side of the equation is your premises, which you're trying. So at the moment, presumably, you're trying to raise funds to
yeah.
expand that. So how are yeah. you doing that? What's happening on that front?
So we've got a GoFundMe page, so hopefully I'll be able to pass that on to everybody listening.
Yep.
We're raising. I've raised a lot of capital from parents who have worked with in the past, who
right.
have actually helped their child learn to speak again, and quite
yep.
pivotal things like that. They've said, yeah, we want to invest because
yeah.
we know what you do is good.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's lots of, I'm just doing everything and everything I can, because it's not just getting the property, it's continuing
yeah.
once we're there to keep, you know, the momentum.
You've got the maintenance costs and the running costs,
yeah.
absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. Okay, where are you based, Nicola?
In Medway.
Midway. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's fascinating talking to you, and mm-hmm. You're so passionate about what you're doing, and it is so important. It's just so important. You know, we dismiss far too many people in our society because
Absolutely.
They don't fit some arbitrary norm, or alleged
yeah.
norm, and I just find that crazy.
There's a lack of experience of people, because loads of the good teachers, if you like, have said, you know what, I'm skilled, I don't need to put up with this nonsense,
yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So now we've got people that have just come out, just newly qualified, becoming SENCOs, and they don't, it's not their fault, but they don't know how to to manage the situation. So it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy at the moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. We got some stuff we need from you so that we can promote it, so that we can promote it for you. First of all, we need to know how to find your GoFundMe page.
Okay, so if you go, well, if you type into Google GoFundMe and then put help SEN children learn to shine, you should come up with my GoFundMe page.
Okay. We're going to put all of this on the radio website anyway, so that you can find it on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk. It'll all be there on the homepage. And what's your website, Nicola?
It's www.thelearntoshineschool.co.uk.
the learntoshineschool.co.uk. Fantastic.
Yep, and I'm on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, but I will make sure, and Instagram, but I'll make sure you've got all of that information ready for you.
Fabulous. We'll put all of that on the Kent Business Radio website so that everyone can find it. I think what you're doing is absolutely brilliant. I really do. And you've got so much drive and passion. How many kids have you got of your own to look after at the same time, by the way?
Feels like there's 20 of them, but there's actually only two.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's very, very difficult because they, in a way, it's been lovely because they're part of the school family. They come and sit on my kids' laps when I'm teaching, and they're all very hands on. But at times it's incessant. So it is hard.
Absolutely. If it wasn't for people like you, we'd never progress anywhere. So all power to you, Nicola. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. If people want to find out more about Nicola and Learn to Shine, all the details are on the Kent Business Radio website. Do follow them up. Do have a look. Hey, and donate to her GoFundMe. That's an order.
Money.
Yeah, that's an order. give her money now.
I love you.
Nicola, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Take care and we'll see you again soon.
Yes, lovely. Thank you very much.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group can help you with your employment law, HR, health and well-being and mediation needs. People are our business. It's what we do every day. Find us online at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
The absolutely passionately driven Nicola Carey-Shine.
Send us some money.
Donate. There is a link to the GoFundMe page on the homepage of the Kent Business Radio website. It will also stay in the Listen Again page as well, show number 528. Do contribute to that. Do check out her website. But wow.
The passion. Yeah. And it is true, isn't it, that, you know, if we don't fit this little mould that we're supposed to fit, it can be, it can be just stalling our whole lives.
I, for the life of me, I don't understand. I don't understand how we can, after all this time, our politicians and our educators and our academics still cannot get their minds around the fact that a lot of us just don't get academic stuff and aren't interested.
Don't learn that way.
And we don't learn that way. We're not interested in what they're trying to tell us. And they just put it down to us being thick, basically. And it's not true. It's just, you know, we're not built to learn things in the way that they're trying to show them.
Yeah.
And to be quite frank, as I said in the interview, a lot of the stuff they try and teach you is completely pointless from someone's point. You know, if you have no idea what use it is to you, why would you bother to learn it? Mm. It's just, I don't understand why we keep doing it the way we do it. I just don't. It defies me.
I once did in my 30s a gardening course, you know, just for fun and to develop and stuff. And I was really looking forward to the practical side. That's what I wanted to do, you know, stress-free.
The weeding.
Yeah, the weeding and the propagating and all that.
Yeah.
And every time, it was at a proper gardening college just here in Canterbury, every time it got round to the practical, it was always cut short. They never did it. It was, you know, oh, we can't do it today and so-and-so's not here today. And so it was all classroom-based, learning the Latin for the names, which is all very well if you want to be a top gardener. But I wanted to get my hands, I wanted to get down and dirty and get my hands dirty.
That is a classic example of why education fails.
Yeah.
They try to be smart about things. You know, we're going to call it a Latin name. We're going to use a dead language that died 2,000 years ago just to prove we're cleverer than you.
Call it a pelargonium, not a geranium.
Yeah, it's a geranium. And everyone knows it's a geranium.
No, it's a pelargonium. actually. It's a pelargonium.
Right. It's a flower, isn't it?
Right. But, you know, that was the whole thing. I wanted to go for stress relief. I had three kids, I had a job, and it was supposed to be, you know. And, in fact, when my BA honours was the same for photography. Very rarely got in the dark room, I think. It was like writing 3,000 words on certain things, you know. I just love getting in the dark room.
I saw a classic. I saw an absolute classic of that the other day.
Were you in the dark room?
No. In schools or college or university, they ask you to write a 3,000-word dissertation.
Yeah, yeah.
When you get to work, they go, if you can't tell me in 7 seconds, I don't want to know.
Okay, so what was the point of the 3,000-word?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's all detached from the real world. Yeah. Anyway, enough of that. It was fantastic talking to Nicola.
It was.
What's going to happen is we're going to get Nicola back in a while. And just find out how she's doing with it and how it's going and where she's got to with it, because I think it's a really important thing that she's doing.
Yeah.
Right, we've got loads more stuff to cover and we're not going to get it all in, so I'm going to try and rush through some of it. Canterbury Communicators, Toastmasters International, helps people develop communication and leadership skills and growing confidence while having fun. Why not come along and find out how? They've got an open house meeting in Canterbury next Tuesday, May the 18th, at 7:15 in the evening. It's a Zoom meeting, so do find out about that. You can follow them on the Twitter at Can Speak Out is their Twitter handle. Can Speak Out, all one word. And you can find out about their meeting next Tuesday.
And the opening of a multi-million pound film studio, which is very exciting, linked to Netflix, Amazon and HBO, has been delayed by a year due to the pandemic. Prolific development company, the Quinn Estates, has gained planning permission last April for its huge scheme on the site of the former Newton Railway Works in Ashford. Mm-hmm. Quinn has hoped to open the studios next year after preparatory work started last summer, and they're now targeting the first quarter of 2023. So that could be your chance, Paul Andrews, to star in a Netflix movie.
You reckon?
I reckon.
Cool. Do you know what we're going to do now?
No, I've no idea.
We're going to have an uninterrupted
FSB.
FSB news.
Don't
That's
you want
what
me
we're going
to
have.
Read an email in the middle?
No, I don't. Yeah, I'll give you a signal when we're ready for you again.
All right, wink.
Yeah? What do you reckon?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, go.
The Federation of Small Businesses News Roundup. Offering advice and guidance for small businesses and the self-employed.
Cool. Right. I'm going to read out loads of stuff here. And then at the end of all of these events, I'm going to give you the one link where you can find them all, find out more details about them and book your place. So here we go. Thursday, the 13th of May, noon to 1 p.m. Effective digital brand is as important as performance. Hear experts from Don't Buy Her Flowers, Mail Metro Media, IAB UK, and other special guests to discuss what a brilliant brand story is and why it's vital in digital. So that's Thursday the 13th of May. Tomorrow, manana, Wednesday the 12th of May, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m, Kent Membership Matters. Find out what FSB Kent are doing locally and understand about the benefits of FSB membership to ensure you're getting all the help you can when you need it most. Then next Tuesday, the 18th of May, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m, what is the true value of your business? Whether you're looking to exit your business or simply planning for future growth, having a sound understanding of your company's value is crucial to achieving your personal goals. Join us for an interactive session with Q&A to help you understand the value of your business. Wednesday the 26th of May, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m, join Peter Searle for the Maidstone Virtual Networking. Peter's hosting this free FSB Connect online event in association with Metro Bank. These Maidstone events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. The guest speaker at this event is Stephanie Unthank, and she's the director of Infinity Wellness. Then the following day, Thursday the 27th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. is Kent Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking. Join us for this Women in Enterprise brunch and have the opportunity to promote your business and link up with fellow entrepreneurs in our interactive and engaging breakout rooms. The event is hosted by FSB Folkestone area host Wendy Flanagan of The Holistic Home. And then on the 2nd of June, preparing to bid within the public sector. So it's how to get work for small businesses within the public sector. Wednesday, the 2nd of June, 11 a.m. till noon. This is a masterclass which will focus on showcasing how to find opportunities that are small business friendly within the public sector. Now, all of those events, you can find out more details about them, and you can book your place or reserve your place by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB. kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB or bizradio.co.uk and click on the FSB tab. They're all there and all the booking links are there so that you can book your place on all or any of those events. There's some other resources that are available from the FSB. These are podcasts and on-demand webinars, so you can watch them or listen to them at any time you like. There's a Keep Connected, Productivity Tips for Home and Hybrid Working. If you want to listen to that, firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/keep-connected-productivity. There's How to Launch an E-commerce Business During the Pandemic and Beyond. To get onto that, it's firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/how-to-launch-an-e-commerce-business. And then there's Grow Your Business with Better IT. firstvoice.fsb.org.uk/grow-your-business. So all of those can be listened to or watched at any time. The FSB, in association with Barclays Bank, Barclays Digital Wings, is an online learning tool designed to help you become more tech savvy and keep up to date on recent digital trends. If you're a business owner, you may wish to use Digital Wings as a learning and development tool for your employees. Inputting a company code can help you provide your company with certain specific details regarding the users from your company. To get your code and to find out more, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/FSB, you can find all the details there. If you submitted your April furlough claims already, then you can ignore this message. However, if you haven't, you have until this Friday, the 14th of May, to do it. Employers are able to claim 80% of your furloughed employees' usual wages for the hours they've not worked, up to £2,500 per month. Claims can be submitted before, during or after you process your payroll, but it's best to submit your claim once you know the exact number of hours your employees will be working, so you don't have to amend the claim later. Employers are still required and must pay the associated full employee tax and national insurance contributions. If you don't do that, you'll have to repay the entire furlough grant. So you've got until this Friday to claim for April. Nobody likes negative publicity, but how can you protect your business against it, and what can you do if it happens? The FSB PR Crisis Management Team is here to support you through a crisis, from protocols and press releases to communicating with your business and the outside world. We're here every step of the way with expert advice and insurance of up to £10,000 in the event of a major crisis. If you want to find out more about using the PR Crisis Management System, fsb.org.uk/membership/PR Crisis Management. That's fsb.co.uk. Sorry, no, that's not. It's fsb.org.uk/membership/PR Crisis Management. And don't forget, all of this can be done by the new FSB app. You can download the app from the Google Play Store or from the Apple Store, and you can access everything on the FSB website via your phone app. And that's the news from the FSB for this week.
Always up to date. Mm. And yeah, great, they've got an app now as well. Mm. Yep. Right, Bunker listeners, this is a final reminder. Book now for Marsh Networking this Wednesday. That's manana. So it's the 12th of May at 10:30 a.m. You can book now at marshnetwork.co.uk to ensure your place. And the speaker will be Terry Botfield, who is the business mentor, and he'll be giving a sneak preview of the new Marsh Network Business Circle, which launches soon. Will provide an opportunity for small businesses to join a closed peer mentoring group where advice, support, knowledge and skills can be discussed and exchanged. And they still have the first timers that come free, and that's an offer that's available, so please invite your contacts. And you can email Terry at botfield.net to arrange a free ticket. And you can join organisations across Kent and Sussex for the style of relaxed professional networking that we know and love from the Terry Botfield Marsh Networking. So a reminder, tomorrow, Wednesday the 12th of May, that's mañana, 10:30 a.m.
You can follow Terry on the Twitter as well. He's got a brilliant Twitter handle. It's TD Botty.
You just like saying
that. I just like saying TD Botty, yeah. But give him a follow
anyway.
That's
a Botty, isn't it?
Yeah, Botty.
Yeah.
I'm Botty. I'm Terry Botty on the Twitter. I'm
Botty. there's an awards to celebrate hard work, success and great PR for your organisation. If you're a winning business, you can enter free Maidstone, Canterbury or Ashford Business Awards 2021 by going to businessawardskent.co.uk.
Fantastic. Here's a quick update on the South East Construction Expo. The expo will be live at the South England Events Centre, that's at Ardingly, on the 21st of October 2021. But because we have the technology, we are also going to be live streaming the event. What this means is if you're exhibiting, you will, in addition to your stand, get an online presence in a virtual booth. You'll get that totally free, so loads more construction businesses can see your products and services. If you're a visitor, you'll have fantastic networking opportunities both live at the expo and by visiting our virtual networking room. This is where you can connect to both virtual and live attendees. The speaker sessions will be streamed live. If you're attending or virtually attending and miss any of the speaker live recordings, there will be a follow-up available. The South East Construction Expo is where you can find out about major projects and investment opportunities, hear from industry-focused speakers sharing high-value content, free meet the buyer with top UK construction companies, live demos of great new innovative products, how to profit from the many new ways of modern construction, and meet thousands of construction businesses for some great networking. All of the details for this can be found on the website, which is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk. There's also an awards competition for construction companies. All of this can be found on kentbusinessradio.co.uk/best-business-events.
Always updating that website, aren't we?
It is.
Well,
it
you.
Always updating. Yeah.
The royal we, that was.
I've
read all mine.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm quite diligent, you know. You may not have noticed before.
You're diligent. I thought you were Jules.
Have you never
what happened to Jules then? Where did diligent come from?
She's eating biscuits.
Yeah. Do you want something to read? Here you go.
Yeah, well, I was just...
Here's a couple.
Yeah, give me some. But City Way Osteopaths, a big hello to them. They say, how are you feeling right now? When was the last time you actually checked in with you? Why don't you do this more often? Checking in with you is one of the most important ways to start recognizing and managing your mental health. That's for the Mental Health Awareness Week,
which is this week.
It is, and they are based, I think, in Rochester, and they've got 5 osteopaths, and they've got also cranial osteopathy for adults and babies. And I was saying to you, that's what you need for your headaches, osteopathy.
You reckon?
Or massage. And not the beauty massage, the nitty-gritty massage.
Is that right?
What happens in Digital Leaders Week, you may ask? Are you a leader in the
UK?
Hey,
Jules,
yeah.
What happens in Digital Leaders Week?
You may ask.
I'm asked.
You may well ask.
Are you going to tell me?
Are you a leader in the UK's digital marketplace for ideas, initiatives and services? Is your organisation or place? If the answer is yes, then here's your chance to demonstrate that. The 2021 Digital Leaders Week is now opening its doors for partners and speakers. And as we unlock the UK's economy, hallelujah, this is the biggest gathering of people focused on 3 key questions our organisations face during this accelerated period of digital transformation. What works, how to, and where can we get advice? So to get involved, those who are driving forward digital transformation in the UK will be sharing the very best practice and showcasing their services and offering solutions that are practical and real. And the date for this is 14th to 18th of June. So that's a diary date. And you can go to digileaders.com/week for that.
Fantastic. I just want to tell you about this. It's actually a tweet. But we're going to have some more information about this as it unfolds. And this is from our big mate, Paul Babra. And he's launched a thing called Chucko Chucko.
Yeah, very spicy.
Yeah, it's Kentish first original aromatic and spicy beer.
Yeah.
Wholly created by Paul Babra. We haven't tasted it yet. We're waiting to taste it. It is available. The best thing to do to find out more about this is to follow Paul on the Twitter. Paul, B-A-B-R-A, Paul Babra is his Twitter handle. Check it out. He's a fantastic curry chef in any way.
Yeah.
But he's launched Chucko Chucko, Kent's first original spicy beer.
Do you know what it means?
No. Well, spicy.
Don't you speak Punjabi?
It means spicy.
No. It means cheers, like chin chin.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah, like okay. Or.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
In Punjabi. And I am going down to Mackinade's with my new husband because I missed the launch, of course.
You did. I went.
I think I was having a massage for my headache.
Yeah, but I went.
And I
had all the nibbles.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've told Paul Babra, I said, as my dear friend Paul Andrews is a teetotal, perhaps I can partake of his share of Chucka.
Oh, you did my share as well, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been yet, but I am planning on having your share on Thursday.
Absolutely. It's going to be interesting, that. It's a really interesting concept, isn't it?
It's clever, because you often, when you have Asian food or Indian food or spicy food, it's very hard to pair a decent beer or wine, yeah, you know, with.
Yeah, yeah.
So I will be very interested.
Yeah. I'll be interested. Knowing Paul, there's probably some turmeric involved in there somewhere.
Cause very he's a bit good of a, for your health.
He's a big turmeric fan. Every time he calls me every now and again, how you doing, mate? And I go, oh, I'm under the weather. He goes, turmeric, mate, I'll cook you something. Yeah. He's brilliant. I love Paul to bits.
It's enough smear your work surfaces, though.
Makes him all orange, doesn't it?
Yeah, yellow, yeah. I'd say.
Yeah.
Men are always colourblind.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I'm looking forward to partaking of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
Well done. Mm. And Rani, of course, she does everything.
Rani does all the work, yeah, really. He just takes all the glory.
Sipping the wine and the beer.
Yeah.
And eating.
Hey, what about this? Live Magic is back.
Oh, is that Stuart?
No, it's Etienne Pradier.
Oh, the.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a big fan of Etienne.
Oh, yeah.
Etienne Pradier, Nicholas Clement and Josh King. They're back on the 27th of June. There's two live shows, one at 4 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. at Y Village Hall. Get your tickets by going to the following link, magic-product.co.uk/live-event. That's magic-product.co.uk/live-event. I don't know Nicholas and Josh, but Etienne Pradier, I'm a massive fan. Etienne does close-up magic. It's unbelievable.
And you can never fathom how it's done.
He has showed me time and time again. I have used a magnifying glass to watch his hands. I've watched him do things to other people. Yeah. And no.
No.
It is just literally magic. Yeah. It really is.
He's very clever.
Yeah, there's no trick to it. It's just magic.
Isn't it lovely that these things are all coming back because we've all been locked down? It's just great to hear this positive news and that people are out and about and seeing, you know, live performances again.
Yeah.
I heard that, what's it called? Glastonbury is going to have a day, not camping, but a whole day of gigs and stuff.
Yeah. I've got two reports here.
I can see you're enthralled by Glastonbury.
Yeah, Glastonbury. I've got two reports here, which are interesting because they're contrasting to some extent.
Okay.
But not entirely conflicting.
Okay.
Maidstone Town Centre has increased footfall as shoppers return with confidence. Maidstone Town Centre has seen the number of shoppers increase since it reopened its doors on the 12th of April. With great news for local businesses, Maidstone Borough Council have been working closely with the Mall, Fremling Wall, One Maidstone, Kent County Council and Kent Police to make sure the town could reopen as safely as possible as lockdown restrictions were lifted. Many businesses in the town have worked hard to ensure that Maidstone is a safe environment for people to return to, and the numbers reflect the confidence of shoppers, with footfall returning to above pre-COVID levels. The springboard report provided by the council shows week on week an increase of 1.8% compared to 2019. The government COVID-19 roadmap to recovery guidance remains in place around safer public spaces, and the project to reopen the town centre has received support from the European Regional Fund. They say we'd all like to thank Maidstone shoppers for their patience and understanding. There's a real feeling of respect and support, which is testament to our community. Now then, I've also got this. More than 40 city centre businesses in Canterbury have closed. 40. have closed down in the last 12 months.
Wow.
As the retail and hospitality sectors were ravaged by the pandemic.
Yeah.
However, 25 new outlets have opened, and streets once again are bustling with shoppers. Business leaders are optimistic the tide is now turning. Crowds have flooded back into Canterbury since hairdressers, pubs, eateries and non-essential stores reopened on April the 12th after months of closure. But those returning to the city cannot fail to notice the scars of the pandemic it now bears.
Yeah.
Canterbury already featured a number of large vacant shop fronts prior to the outbreak, such as Nason's, Debenhams, and since then Carluccio's, Topshop, Cafe Rouge, Curry's, Pound World have all gone.
That is really, really awful.
But the long periods of lockdown sadly proved fatal for many, many other smaller businesses. Yeah. The city has now more disused premises than it has had since records began in 2012.
Very, very sad.
With 13.4% now unoccupied. That's 3% more than 2020. Terrible. Yet still...
Parking. £6, I think I paid the other day. £6 quid.
£9 to go to work. Parking.
And £9 and there's nothing open. Except your chains.
And we had that online spat with the council where they told us about Castle Street multi-storey car park. They said parking there. It's been closed for the last 9 weeks.
So why have they closed it? Do we know?
I have no idea. I'm assuming
they'll probably build on it.
I'm assuming they're refurbishing it or something, but it is closed. And of course, the other thing, not just for Canterbury, but for everywhere, is the government will not, they will just not get sensible about business rates in town centres. Mm. All those empty premises... And I'm still paying through the nose in Canterbury for my business rates.
Is that because of the cathedral? Because I always hear that cathedral are very expensive rates. Or is it Canterbury City Council?
Business rates are set by the government. Business rates go almost entirely to the government.
So why do I hear that it's because of the cathedral? I often hear this from businesses.
No idea.
Oh, it's gossip then.
No, it's no idea. It's got nothing to do with... business rates, to be fair, have got very little to do with Canterbury Council.
So it's government.
It is centrally government controlled, and the money goes to central government, and then they give a little bit of it back to the council, which is why councils try and make their money out of car parking.
Yeah, well, they do.
Because that's the bit that they get to keep.
But, you know, it's very short-sighted, isn't it? And I took my new husband. It was his 50th, you know, on Wednesday.
Was it really?
Yeah, and a big thank you.
He's a whippersnapper, isn't he?
I know. And a big thank you to Graham Green and lovely Deborah for doing a beautiful, beautiful beef Wellington for my new husband. But I took him out in the day for little treats, as you do. And I took him to Konya, you know, my favourite pub where I have my baked yoghurt.
The Ship?
Yeah, the Ship at Konya. And it's closed.
No baked yoghurt?
No, nothing.
When you say
and it was a free house.
When you say it's closed, you mean closed down?
Yeah.
Or just not open at
Well, it's under new management. Apparently, the lovely chef that was on my show, on the Scoff and Quaff, the Superior Show, had his licence taken away. Now, this is what I'm told. It may not be true, because too many people were cramming in his gazebo that he had, trying to keep going through the winter period. And the gazebo had open sides and a little, it was tiny, tiny little gazebo. So that sounds to me like probably some of the neighbours were moaning because it is a residential area.
Sure.
But it was a beautiful pub and I hope it will stay as a free house and that Shepneen won't buy it and it will just become like every other Shepneen pub.
Mm.
Sorry if you're a Shepneen fan.
Mm.
Yeah, so no baked yoghurt for me or my new husband.
What a blow.
Exactly.
The Kenwood Trust... based out at Yalding, outside of Maidstone, is a residential home, but it's open to the public, or it will be very shortly. But they have a new e-commerce element on the Kenwood Place website, and it's now gone live, and that allows the public to book in experiences or purchase merchandise directly from us. So if you want to go on one of the alpaca walks, or if you want to engage in the archery or the frisbee golf that they have, which is brilliant fun, you can book your tickets via the website. You can also find merchandise that they place. So to do that, to find out what's on kenwoodplace.co.uk, to buy your tickets, kenwoodplace.co.uk/shop.
Good one.
Check it out.
Yeah. There's a charity golf day. Have I got time to tell you this?
Yes, you have. Just
Friday the 2nd of July, and it's 10:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. You've got 18 holes, and you can swing into action and join in the fundraising for Strode Park Foundation. And they've booked the Cave Hotel and Golf Resort in Boughton. You can make up a team of four for just £60 a head. And if you're a member of the Boughton Golf Club, you can pay just £34.50. So it's 10:30 registration with teas, coffee and bacon roll. I'd go just for that. 11:15, tee off, followed by scores in, prize presentations and a two-course meal. Buggy hire is available at £25 each for 18 holes. Please contact the club direct on the Canterbury code, which is 01-227-752277 to hire. Tickets are non-refundable unless the event is cancelled. And you can go to www.strodepark.org.uk, shop, event, charity, golf day.
Fantastic.
Taking a photo of that because I might go to that.
Are you going to play golf, are you?
Yeah, no, I'll just eat the bacon roll and let my new husband do the golfing.
Does he play a bit of golf?
No, but I think it's time he learnt. He's 50.
You're going to make him play so he can have the bacon roll.
We know what he got as a birthday present. We clubbed together. We got him kite surfing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's more his thing, isn't it? Because he does a bit of paddle boarding and all that,
doesn't
he?
Yeah, he does all that. He's sailing all weekend this weekend, which is great. I've got a whole weekend to myself.
Cool. The Kent and Sussex Tea and Coffee Company has seen a huge increase in revenues as the nation turned to hot drinks to help nurse them through the lockdown. The company, based in Pluckley near Ashford, said transaction rose by 117%.
God, think of the electricity and the kettles.
And revenues shot up by 138% over the last 12 months. It says a survey it conducted revealed 22% of the UK are drinking more coffee now than ever before, with the South East behind only London in upping their intake. In addition, the poll of 2,000 coffee drinkers revealed that while in the past they opted for popular supermarket brands such as Nescafe, Illy or Kenko, during the last year there's been a surge in independent suppliers and indie coffee brands.
Yeah, we're all getting very discerning in how we froth. There's lots of oat milk being frothed and coconut milk and all sorts. Yeah,
absolutely.
We won't mention soy milk.
No, let's not mention soy milk.
It's not good for your thyroid.
No, it's not good for anything. Do you know what?
Is it the end?
I think we're just about at the end of the show.
Well, I would like to complain about one thing, that the biscuits that were so lovely and fresh last week.
Well, they've been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we need a proper biscuit tin.
It's up there.
Oh.
On the top.
Okay, does it need a washout?
No, it just needs the biscuits put in them.
Yeah, because they're all right, but they're not as crisp as they were last
Tuesday. Well, before you leave tonight, I suggest you put your biscuits, because you're the only one that eats them, in that biscuit tin to keep them fresh.
Doesn't Zeenat like them? I think she likes them.
Well, I don't know. They're still there from last week.
Yeah,
anyway.
I'll count them.
Okay.
And who is our sponsor? Remind me of that again.
Lock Associates, the great folks from Lock Associates Group, HR lawyers. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's been a pleasure to talk to you all. Thank you for everyone that tweeted, sent emails and joined in with the conversation. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a safe and happy week, everyone, and we'll see you all again soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.
You're listening.